Welcome to this New Nutrition Business Podcast. My name is Julian Mellenton, and today I'm going to talk about three success stories in probiotics. And it's very nice to be able to talk about success for a change. Those of you who are familiar with our New Nutrition Business Podcasts may have noticed that recently they seem largely to have covered the failures of plant-based meat substitutes, the disappointments of plant-based dairy substitutes, and the potential failure to excite consumers from lab-based meats. And all of that, I guess, is pretty negative, but that's not our fault. It's just that the people working those areas are busy making failures for themselves. How nice, then, to return to something which is just about companies being successful. And it's particularly interesting to be able to talk about probiotics, because although lots of people's attention in the media and in the food industry and consumers as well has been on plant-based for the past 6 or 7 years, probiotics are one of those success stories that's been around for, well, about 35 or 40 years. So the three little case studies I'm going to talk about are companies which are all very different. They have very different histories. They have somewhat different strategies, but they do have some things in common. One of them is a major company in Japan, which has been an expert in probiotics for probably 70 or 80 years. Two of them are from the US. One is a brand created by three immigrants from Turkey who built up a business based on simple and natural foods from scratch over the course of 20 years. And the third one is also a company founded by an immigrant to the US, this time a man who went there from the Soviet Union, what used to be the Soviet Union in the 1980s. And he has taken a traditional food and reinvented it and made it modern. And after lots of difficulties, his family has made a success out of that business. These are stories about how you bring technology to the consumer and how you also do it in a way that meets people's needs for things being natural, healthy, simple, and easy to understand. If you walk down the dairy aisle in the average supermarket, in most countries, what you'll see is the word probiotic appears on most yogurt products now. That's actually something that simply wasn't the case 30 odd years ago. If you wanted to see something that was probiotic, you basically went to Asia or Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, there were lots of very traditional fermented dairy products, mostly yogurts. And actually, some of those provided inspiration for people in Asia. And the country which led the way with probiotics in Asia was Japan. As is so often the case in food and health, it's Japan that's at the forefront, and it's a country that we could all learn so much from. So the oldest, I guess, probiotic, the oldest good bug that gives you the digestive or the immune health benefit is Lactobacillus bulgaricus. Yep, from Bulgaria. So a Japanese company called Meiji, seeing how the science was developing around the digestive and immune health benefits of probiotic bacteria, and also discovering how if you put good bugs, the right sort, into yogurts, it improves the taste and texture, they launched a product called Bulgaria Yogurt, which to this day is one of the most consumed in Japan. It's a huge brand. And around the same time, another company called Yakult launched something a bit different, a little dairy drink, using a bacteria called Lactobacillus casei. And that company, Yakult, has become probably the world's biggest supplier of probiotic dairy products in the world, all focused on this little 65ml or 100ml bottle. And although about half of Yakult sales are in Japan, the other half across the rest of Asia and across South America, it's a brand you find in Europe to a small extent. It's gradually making headway in the US, where most people in the US have never heard of it. It still has about $150 million in sales. So our first mini case study is looking at what Yakult has done in the past 2 years, which has become a huge success and taken probiotics in a new direction. Because one of the challenges, of course, is that people, which is a good thing, associate probiotics with digestive wellness and immune health. But if you're someone who's actually marketing a dairy product with probiotics in it, it's a bit of a boring everyday message now. You're not going to create something new and successful. One of the interesting factors about how science is evolving is our better understanding of the connection between the functioning of your gut and the gut microbiome and mental health. So if your guts function better, you sleep better, you feel less stressed. And that's not a new idea. It's something which has been evolving in science for probably about 15 years. Now, what Yakult did in Japan in 2021 was they launched a probiotic dairy drink for digestive wellness and to help people manage their stress zone. It has already become one of the world's most successful ever product launches. Inside 2 years, sales are already over $850 million. That's the sort of number that people like Pepsi and Coke would be delighted to achieve. And isn't it nice that it's just a straightforward, small dairy drink with some good bugs in it and not much else? The product's called Yakult 1000, and it's got three little health claims on it, which are permitted under Japan's food regulations. They are that it can alleviate temporary stress. The second one is improve sleep quality, and the third one, regulate intestinal function. Each 100ml little bottle contains 100 billion Lactobacillus casei serota. This is essentially the same strain that Yakult has used in its original probiotic dairy drink, which was marketed for the first time back in the 1950s. But what they say they found is that if you put a much bigger dose into the bottle, then it has this stress and sleep improvement effect. Now, this may not sound very scientific to you, but there's a real test. If humans find that a product actually gives them the benefit that's claimed, you know, if they do sleep better, if they do feel less stressed, then they buy it again. And if it doesn't work, they don't buy it again. And what's interesting about Yakult is it's made these claims. Japanese consumers are savvy consumers. They've been consuming probiotics for 40 or 50 years. Their educational level is much higher than that of people in the West. They're used to hearing scientific messages. So they're naturally a little bit skeptical. It's not easy to sell to them. The fact that Japanese people are repeatedly buying this product and buying more of it and buying $850 million worth suggests that it's probably doing what it says on the label. Interestingly, the sales of this little product are going up, and they show no sign even of plateauing so far. So it's quite possible that this brand will have more than $1 billion or $1.2 billion in sales in 2024. Such is the level of demand from consumers, there's actually a shortage of product, and Yakult is actually having to put in extra production facilities to keep up with demand. From Yakult's point of view, what's also good is that the sales of Yakult 1000 don't appear to have cannibalized Yakult's other established probiotic dairy drinks, so those sales of those are continuing to run along. And amazingly, at the corporate level, and you know, totally Yakult has, $2.5 billion of sales? Total company sales have gone up about 16%, and its profits have gone up by 53%. So let's just recap. Why is it successful? Number one, it appears to give a benefit people can feel. And that is really one of the most powerful reasons that people buy probiotics. They buy them because they want the digestive wellness to improve. They want any discomfort to go away. The second reason it's doing well is it's connected to a huge need that we have in our society. People, particularly since COVID, appear to feel more stressed than ever before, particularly younger consumers. People have more difficulty sleeping. So stress and sleep, these are one of the biggest consumer needs. And people do already look to food for a solution. You know, people eat chocolate because it makes them feel better. It makes them feel less stressed. And they eat a whole lot of other traditional products. And so far, food companies haven't really done a great job of figuring out how to supply products that enable people to feel less stressed and sleep better. There have been lots of efforts for maybe 20 years, and they've pretty much all failed. Yakult seems to have found something that actually works. Another reason it's successful is the Yakult brand has been around for 70-odd years. It's a name that Japanese people have come to trust. Presumably, the business wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the fact that people have consumed the products all of their lives and found that they actually work for them. And one of the things that helps make Yakult trustworthy is, unlike a lot of companies who are tempted to go off in new directions and always create new products, Yakult has basically stuck to its knitting. It's remained focused on doing its little probiotic dairy drinks, and that's what it's associated with. So to get this new sleep benefit from probiotics from Yakult is credible to Japanese people. You know, that's what the brand stands for. And actually, brands are often more credible with people when they just can be associated with doing one thing and doing it well, having a product that works and one that tastes delicious. There's another element to Yakult 1000 success as well, which is that about 80% of the sales come from selling direct to consumer. So again, this is another area where Japanese companies pioneered selling direct to consumer long before anyone in the West thought of it. It's become very fashionable in the past few years to talk about that great marketing word omni-channel, which means selling in all sorts of different places online or in shops. And it's treated as being something new, and Western companies have often regarded it as being very difficult. I've never quite understood why they thought it was difficult, because companies in Asia have been doing it for a very long time, which just goes to show there's a lot of people in senior management at Western companies that could do with spending a little bit more time in Asia and learning a few lessons, such as from Yakult. So Yakult has a direct-to-consumer sales force called the Yakult Ladies. They've been there since the 1950s, and they come to your home or your office, and you can buy product from them. And of course, now you can buy things online as well. So it means that there's one human making a connection with another human and building trust and being able to share concrete information. And that's a really important point. And I guess that's what I meant just now about Yakult becoming well known for sticking to its knitting and doing one thing. It's about building trust with the consumer. So when you come to them with a new idea, they're willing to pay attention and give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll confess, I'm a big fan of Yakult. It's a company we've been studying since we started this business 27 years ago. There have always been great lessons for everyone to learn from them. And Yakult 1000 is just the latest and best example of what we can all learn from this very creative Japanese company. Okay, let's head to the US. Still in dairy. And why still in dairy? Well, the dairy category has done a better job than any other educating people about probiotics. And that makes perfect sense because probiotic bacteria belong in dairy. I mentioned the brand Bulgaria at the beginning from the 1950s. So consumers can believe that these bugs are naturally present in yogurt and other fermented dairy. It may be based on technology. There may be 100 studies demonstrating that the bug actually works. But the consumer's not interested in the technology. They like the idea that the bug is somehow a thing you would naturally expect to find in fermented dairy. So Yakult is a giant and now global company. This business is the opposite. It's a company called Lifeway Foods. And it was founded by a guy called Mike Smolyansky in the 1980s. And he migrated to the US from what was then the Soviet Union. And he noticed that Americans weren't consuming kefir. Now, kefir is a very traditional, everyday product in Eastern Europe. So it's basically a yogurt-like drink with multiple strains of bacteria in it, long established as having some digestive or immune benefits in people's traditional food cultures across the whole of Eastern Europe. So he launched his business, introduced Americans who then had a much more sweet tooth even than they do today to this like slightly sour fermented dairy drink. But he worked hard. He focused on the most health active consumers and gradually built his business up. And Lifeway Foods is a case study that everyone can draw inspiration from. It has stayed pretty much true to its core business since the late 1980s. It's gone through an awful lot of challenges in recent years. So having grown very rapidly at one point, once the plant-based substitutes frenzy came along in 2016, that put a dent in the business. But they've come through that, and they have returned to being a family-led business, marketing a traditional food that's got very few ingredients, easy for people to understand, and has tangible health benefits. So Mike Smolyansky founded his business in 1986, and he built it up to about $12 million in sales by 2002, when he unfortunately died. His daughter, Julie Smolyansky, then only 26, took over running this still very small business. By 2017, she'd grown it to $124 million in sales, all the while generating a steady operating profit. And that's just a point I'd like to draw attention to. So many of the things that we hear hyped up in the media, particularly in the world of plant-based, are businesses which never make a profit, and indeed possibly never will. But this was a small family business, so they had to grow it, and they had to pay the bills and pay their employees and have something left at the end of the year, which is a fantastic discipline. Now, after those years of hard work up until 2017, Lifeway's kefir business ran into some headwinds because 2016-17 was the start of the plant-based dairy alternative frenzy. 2016 was the year that Danone bought the Allpro and Silk brands and became, as well as being one of the world's biggest dairy companies, one of the world's biggest makers of plant-based dairy substitutes. And if you're wondering, no, that's not a strategy that's turned out very well for Danone in the end. It's turned out to be a bit of a drag on their growth and on their profitability, which is why the CEO who masterminded that strategy, called Emmanuel Faber, was let go by shareholders a couple of years ago. So after 2016-17, As Julie Smolyansky herself has said, there was a shift towards being anti-dairy. Social media influencers, mainstream media, even retailers were increasingly not so interested in dairy, and that put downward pressure on lots of segments of the market. We've got through that patch. Consumers have all tried dairy substitutes and discovered that they just don't taste very good. And for the ones who bother to look at the nutrition facts panel, they'll see that mostly they have long ingredient lists and very poor nutritional profiles, with none of the nutritional density that you expect to get from natural dairy. Lifeway, like many dairy businesses, did experiment with going into plant-based itself during this frenzy period, and it didn't work out. And why didn't it work out? Because the plant-based product they created based on pea protein simply didn't taste good enough. So what Julie Smolyansky did was she decided that the company would simply return to its knitting and stick to its principles of making a simple natural product that tastes great, that has easy to understand health benefits. And the result of that is that Lifeway has now produced its best financial results ever. So sales are back up, and in 2022 reached a record $141 million. That was up 19% over the year before. And yes, they're making a profit again. And in 2023, sales look like they're up another 17%. Why is Lifeway successful? They're just sticking with classic dairy nutrition. They're sticking with a product that's simple and natural. They're talking about the bacteria that you get in Lifeway and its connection to better gut health. They're helped by the fact that pendulum in social media is beginning to swing away from plant-based and back towards more real foods. And so you're seeing more influencers on social media starting to talk about the benefits that there are to your gut health and to your microbiome that come from consuming cultured dairy products, the benefits to your health that there are from the natural nutrient density that you get in cultured dairy. As Julie Smolyansky said, quote, "It's great to see some of this right thinking working its way back into the mass market. There was a big campaign of misinformation and disinformation around the benefits of dairy versus plant-based, and now we're seeing some of the truths come to light." And the last of our three little case studies, still with probiotics, is still a little bit related to dairy, but actually it's mostly about fruit, is a company called SIBOVITA. It was created by two Turkish guys who migrated to the United States 20 years ago, and it began simply selling nuts, seeds, and dried fruits, and supplying those simple, naturally healthy products to supermarkets and to health food stores. Now, SIBOVITA is a private company, and they don't talk too much about what their sales figures are, but basically they've gone from zero to about $350 million of sales over the course of the past 20 years, simply through entrepreneurial hard work and focus on giving people simple natural foods. What SIBOVITA has done over the past 2 or 3 years is to come up with a few more sophisticated products while trying to stick to its core principles of giving people things that are natural and naturally healthy. And the brand that has really got people's attention in the past year or so is called Yogies. So Yogies is basically small pieces of fruit coated with yogurt, effectively. And in that yogurt coating are probiotic bacteria to give people a digestive wellness benefit, in addition to anything that you might get from the fruit. So this is a bit like Lifeway and its kefir. It's a bit like reinventing a traditional well-established food. Yogurt-coated raisins and yogurt-coated peanuts have been around in health food stores in Western countries probably for 50 or 60 years. So this is a new take on a product that people who are health active are used to seeing. So what are Yogies? Well, Yogies go underneath SIBOVITA's brand called Nature's Garden, and they're little packages, just about 20 grams of dried fruit. And the first one they've launched is strawberries, which has 3 grams of fiber in it. There's no artificial ingredients of any kind. And the little piece of strawberry is glazed with this yogurt coating. And then this is where the technology part comes in, because in the yogurt coating is the bacteria that delivers the health effect. And the bacteria that the company chose is something called LGG. The scientific name is Lactobacillus rhamnosus. Now, that is the most scientifically researched probiotic bacteria in the world. It surfaced, or the research began, in the 1980s. The work was done on it by two American scientists called Golden and Gorbach. That's the GG. So Lactobacillus Golden and Gorbach was what it used to be called. The research was pushed on by the biggest dairy company in Finland, a company called Valio. And there are probably hundreds of clinical studies on its health benefits. These days, it's manufactured by, produced, I should say, by a company called DuPont. So it's very responsible. of Cibavita to go and find the bug that has the most science behind it. Of course, that science isn't communicated on the package because people don't like to eat technology. They don't want technology pushed down their throat. But what they do know is if they consume Yoggies, they actually feel some kind of benefit. Now, getting the bugs into the very thin yogurt coating on the strawberries, well, that's where the technology comes in. So you have a natural food, but for the natural food to deliver the health benefit, then you need to use a bit of food technology. So what Cibavita did was they teamed up with a company in Ireland called Anabio Technologies. And Anabio Technologies had figured out how to encapsulate the bugs, the probiotic bugs, in such a way that you can put them inside a very thin yogurt coating and then, of course, put it on top of the fruit. Now, that may not sound like much, but actually, technically, it's extremely difficult to do. And one of the things that's important to bear in mind, of course, is that probiotics are normally in refrigerated product, like Lifeway Kefir or Yakult's little bottle. But putting them on a piece of fruit in a product that sits on the open shelf, well, the bugs would die. So that's where the clever encapsulation comes in, so that the bugs stay alive in the little dry yogurt coating on the outside of the piece of fruit. So this has been a successful innovation, bringing together something simple and natural with some food technology. There's nothing has to be stated on the label because it's all natural compounds that are used in the coating. And why did Cibavita put a yogurt coating on the outside? Because, as I said earlier on, it's dairy, and particularly yogurt, that consumers associate most with probiotic benefits. Yogurt is the credible place to find bugs. So it's credible for consumers in the US to go, okay, fruit coated with yogurt. Yogurt has bacteria in it. I know that yogurt can have bacteria in it. That's good for me. And it's easy for them to accept. So that's why in the space of a year, Nature's Garden Yoggies already on track for $100 million in sales. And they do taste absolutely delicious, by the way, which is another thing which is one of the key drivers of success. In fact, such is the demand for Yoggies that Cibavita starts out by supplying Costco, and they're actually having to put in new production so they can keep up with the demand that's starting to come through from other major US chains like Walmart, for example. So there we have it. Three little case studies about companies making a success in different ways with probiotics. In one case, a really long-established Japanese brand bringing a new benefit to consumers, the benefit of dealing with sleep and anxiety, and able to do so because they've spent years becoming credible with probiotics and making their brand credible and trusted. Another business which has taken a traditional food from one part of the world and they've reinvented it in another part of the world where it's new and unknown. But they've done that by sticking to their principles and making the product as authentic as it is in Eastern Europe. And lastly, a company selling natural ingredients, wanting to bring a new benefit, and using technology and food science to do that, but doing it in a way that's credible to the consumer and doesn't require the consumer to actually eat something new and complex and difficult to understand. I hope you found these three little stories interesting and helpful. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Those of you who are not familiar with us, please go to our website, www.new-nutrition.com. You should look at subscribing, because if you subscribe to our service on our website, you will have access to more information and more interesting and more useful information about the business of food and health than you will find from any other source anywhere at all. And that's why we've been around for 27 years, because we reliably give people useful information to help them make good decisions and understand the business of nutrition and health. I hope you all have a very good day, and thank you for listening.